Welcome to the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com. We go live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and check in on the world of golf to bring you the latest news, insights, analysis, interviews. Hey, we cover anything and everything golf. My name is Carlos Torres. Every week, I'm alongside my co-host, Fred Alvader. Fred, I believe you had an 8, and it wasn't playing golf. I think it's about temperature or something like that, right?
Yeah, snowman, Carlos. I was in Michigan over the weekend, and the temperature dipped below 10 degrees, and we had 2 inches of snow on Sunday. I'm not a happy camper. I am ready for spring and playing some golf, and I am certainly ready for the first major of the year at the ANA Inspiration this week out in Palm Springs and the Masters next week. Let's go!
Let's go, and we have a great show for you. We have a special guest, once again, a very good friend of the show, is our VIG, very important guest of the week. That's Craig Kahn, the Chief Communications Officer for the LPGA. And we're going to have a special live joined by Jace Manor to talk about the ANA Inspiration while we are at the practice range. But we're going to have a new section, quick section. We're going to call it the Weekend Backspin, where we're going to talk quickly about the highlights of the weekend tournaments. And I have to start, Fred, with, wow, Jimmy Walker, what is going on? This guy, what a year and a half he's having. I mean, another win for him. By 4 shots, he went head-to-head with Jordan Spieth and beat him. Jordan Spieth, another great play, second place there, 7-under, 4 shots behind Jimmy Walker. He's really getting hot and very, very on the peak going to the Masters. Billy Horschel, third place. Wow. But one thing that worried me from there, from that tournament, I would have to say is definitely G-Mac, his ankle, another withdrawal. So what's going on with him, we'll pretty soon have to know, because the Masters is just 2 weeks away. On the Champions Tour, Frosty, he survived a late penalty to win, but I wonder what is going on with Bernhard Langer. Where is he? The killer in the Champions Tour. But hey, Frosty was the winner there, and you can see him now. He's the leader on the Champions Tour, so good for him. And I have to mention also on the ladies' tournament, Christy Kerr there at the Kia Classic. Wow, 7-under, 65 on Sunday to beat Miren Lee and Lydia Ko, who looked at her right there. They were tied after the turn, and Christy Kerr really took over in the back nine and won it. That 7-under, incredible play there by Christy Kerr, the veteran, overcoming the youngster threat.
Yeah, Carlos, just like you, for the LPGA, 37-year-old Christy Kerr, 4 rounds in the 60s. She won by 1 shot over 24-year-old Miriam Lee and finished 2 shots ahead of 17-year-old Lydia Ko. Kerr, it's already has 17 LPGA Tour titles, including 2 majors. Miriam Lee had the 54-hole lead, but started off bogey, double bogey. First 2 holes left her 1 shot short of Christy at the end. This was Ko's 6th event of the season, Carlos. She has broken par in all 24 rounds this season. 6th consecutive top 10 finish with a win, 2 runners-up, leads the money race, leads the race to CME Globe, leads the Rolex rankings. She leads the world. She is just doing amazing stuff. We're going to talk about her a little bit more with Craig Kahn here later in the show. Indy Park finished 5th. Lexi, Paula, Jessica Korda, Sayre Pack, all T10, Stacey Lois, T15. Jimmy Walker, the Texas guy, has got it done in San Antonio. Jimmy Walker withdrew from the API and instead played in a member guest at his home course there in San Antonio. Evidently, that worked pretty well. Got him relaxed because he ended up winning, beating Spieth, as you mentioned. For Spieth, it's his 5th top 10 in 8 starts this season. He's number 2 behind fellow Texan Walker and number 6 in the OWGR. He will play in Houston this week, too. So don't forget Spieth finished runner-up at the Masters last year, so he could be a force in that. As you mentioned, Frosty, 4 birdies the last 8 holes. to win the it's his first win since the tradition in 2013. And Richie Ramsey started hot with four consecutive birdies on 4 through 7 and gave three shots away with a triple bogey number 6 at the par 3 8th on Sunday, but he still won the tournament by a shot over Frenchman Romain Wattel. Third career win, becomes the first Scot to win on European Tour this year. European Tour, no tournament this week. Getting ready for the Masters next week, Carlos. Carlos, you on mute?
Yes, I'm here. Definitely they okay. are. I had to mute again. Oh, my God. What's going
See,
on?
You never listen to me. You just turn me off, don't you?
No, you're not. It's just for me preventing you from listening to me. I don't want to talk too much. But, hey, that wraps up our weekend backspin. Hope you like it. And if you have any suggestions, just let us know. This is your show. Now we have to move to the Par 5 News presented by United Golf Network. So, hey, Fred, I believe you have something to tell us. But before we go into that, I believe you have some comments you want to make.
I got some breaking news, Carlos. Good friend of the Back Nine Report, Matt Ginella, posted today on his Facebook and Instagram that Coor Crenshaw have signed to build a fourth course for Johnny Morris, owner of Bass Pro Shops, and the Big Cedar Lodge near Branson, Missouri. If you remember, the Champions Tour Legends of Golf is played at Big Cedar and uses the top of the Rock Par 3 course for a couple of the rounds there. So, Coor Crenshaw got a job building a new course. Carlos, you know what tomorrow is, right?
Tomorrow is Wednesday.
Yes, but it's also you turn the calendar to the 1st of April. So you know what that means. Today
April
on the website, exactly. Today on the website Golf Central Daily, they have a copy of a prepared announcement from TigerWoods.com. That he will officially retire from competitive golf in a news conference at 11 a.m. tomorrow, April 1st. I cannot find the announcement on Tiger's website, and I have not seen any announcement on Golf Channel or anywhere else that there is, in fact, a news conference scheduled for Wednesday. In the body of the article, there are quotes from Tiger and Jack Nicklaus. If this is indeed a hoax, I can't believe that that Woods and Nicklaus are going to be too happy with quotes attributed to them. I guess he can hear us. So he has got us patched into Jeff Menor, and Jeff is a teaching professional here in the Toledo, Ohio area. He works with several LPGA Tour and Sumatra Tour players. He's also a tour representative for Scratch Golf, and he's out in Mission Hills this week working with the pros. Jeff, what's the scuttlebutt? What's going on out there?
Well, it's been a busy day, but I think the weather is the biggest topic of all. What's happened in the last 3 weeks is very unusual. They've had at least 3 days over 100 degrees already. It's been in the mid-90s since I've been here. I have talked to several of the caddies and players, and they are astounded. One caddy has been here for 35 years. He says he's never seen it. The snow is off the mountaintops. It's been for 3 weeks. It's never been like that before. And the issue with the weather is that it's causing havoc with the greens. They have Bermuda greens here with the rye pulver seed. But because of this hot weather that hasn't been able to take, they've been watering them, drenching them overnight and in the morning so they don't lose them. But the greens are lucky to run 10 to stem, and they normally are about 12.8 out here for this tournament. And in fact, I had a long talk with David Ledbetter, and he just says, well, the only good thing about it is they look horrible. You'll be able to see it on the TV, but at least they're running true. The ball's not bouncing, but they're just slow and true. But like he says, it's an even playing field. Everybody has to play.
So, Mission Hills is kind of a long hitter's ballpark. So if it's hot and dry, is it really firm and fast then? Is there going to be a lot of rollout on the ball?
Not really, because they're keeping the whole course wet. They said players are coming off, and the caddies are saying they've never seen it this wet because they're constantly trying to keep it from losing the greens. And they've also left their rough grow this year. They've got it between 3 and 6 inches in some places. And so it's going to be about the straight hitters. I've talked to several people, and they said that the player that hits a high ball and doesn't move it from right to left is going to probably have the best shot at playing extremely well here. They have also changed the bunkers this year. They have gone to an Augusta White sand. The Augusta White sand is completely different from what the sand conditions have been out here for years. So it's much more fluffier, and those conditions are coming into play. And with that long rough, it's not allowing that spin to be put on the ball, and you're going to have some issues with balls staying on these greens this week.
So chipping and putting is going to be an important factor, and somebody like Lydia Ko, Stacey Lewis, who hits the ball pretty straight, may have a little bit of advantage. The ball control girls may have the advantage this week.
Oh, yes. Stacey Lewis is best because she is a high ball hitter, and she can hit it low. The Santa Ana winds actually kicked in about an hour and a half or 2 hours ago, and I was kind of glad that it kind of died down a little bit so I could hear you quite clearly. But it's been an issue. The weather has been an issue, and the greens are about the biggest issue. They've also lengthened the course this year a little bit, so it's up to 6,700 yards of playing. So I think it's going to be, yes, it can favor a long ball hitter, but I think it's also going to favor the straight ball hitters. And like I said, I've talked to several of the caddies and pros, and they said that they've never seen the conditions like this before, and it's not their fault. This weather is the blame. And I had a chance to talk to several legends of golf out here. I've had the nice entry this week. The first person I saw was Nancy Lopez, and we had to sit down and talk for like 15 minutes, you know. And I really love the way they do this tournament because they do the champions dinner, and then, of course, they follow suit like the Masters. The caddies wear the white overall jumpsuits, and tradition is very, you know, important around here, and it's nice to see.
So you're out there, you're representing Scratch Golf, you're working with some of the girls or some of the ladies with their bounce on their wedges, working with some wedges. What are you working with this week? What's predominant?
Well, we're continuing to fitting with Davey Sherrill, and we just got done getting some wedges made up for Ryan O'Toole, and we got to thank Jeff McCoy back in the Armory for doing all this hard work because he's a mastermind along with Don White, one of the greatest of all when it comes to craftsmanship. 14 majors to his credit for irons that he has hand ground himself in the Hall of Fame for the Professional Club Fitters Association. So we got a good following. As you well know, I've had my shaft out here since 2005, and I had a great opportunity 8 years ago to find one of the best head manufacturers of all time, I think. And Ari Techner, the co-founder and president of Scratch Golf, and I basically got together. They moved into my backyard. They're up in Berkeley, Michigan, off of Woodward Avenue. And so it's just a jog up the street to get up there with those guys. And, yeah, so we got several players. We picked up a great Hall of Famer, Amy Alcott. She came over today, and she just fell in love with the wedges. And she's still playing on that Legends Tour. And, of course, as soon as she walked up and she started bragging, of course, I had a lot of the young ladies knew who she was. Of course, they all started making their way over to me and asking more about what we're doing out here. But I'm pretty much representing strictly Scratch Golf this week. My instruction is pretty much going to be on hold for the Metro Tour and a couple players that are not in the field this week. I talked to Wirt Blackwater, the caddy out here, and he said he's got a couple sleepers, dark horses, he would say. And he said to look out for what course his player, Kim Kaufman, but he said to pay attention to another young lady that I heard is not even out of college. And I think he said that this young lady's name, let me have to find it real quick because he mentioned it so quick on the fly. He said, look out for this young lady. She finished third last week, I believe. And let's see. I can't find her name at this time. He mentioned it so quick, and I was running trying to find a high spot here because we're down in a canyon here, and I couldn't get a good signal. I was hoping I was even going to get through to you guys. So I'm standing up here on the highest point of Mission Hills, you could say, and I've got a bunch of bystanders walking by waving and like going, what are you doing up there?
This was the Kraft Nabisco for a long time. It was a Dinosaur Colgate before that. It has a great history. And like you said, they really honor the tradition there. And they have created a lot of their own traditions. You know, they jump in the pond after they win in the Poppy's Pond. And great names have won this. You know, Yanni Tseng and, Annika and just all the big names up through. Stacy has won here before, and they had that great, great finish last year with Lexi Thompson and Michelle Wee, both battling down at the end, really set the year off for the LPGA Tour last year with them battling. And then, of course, Michelle went on to win the U.S. Open. So are you seeing anything, Alexi? Are you seeing anything of Michelle? What do they look like out there? Have you seen them practice at all?
Yeah, I have. I saw Michelle Wee come in late this afternoon because she lives up here in Bighorn, so she probably would do a lot of practice over here. And David Ledbetter's been here all week long. We've had a couple lunches together, and that's what I was talking about, his players and what type of advice he's been giving them for these conditions. And like you said, that really it's, you know, if it was a men's tour, they'd probably be all complaining because they play in perfect conditions at all times. But the ladies traveling between the European and overseas and in China and such, they're constantly seeing different types of conditions. So he says they will adapt well to these grains no matter what. But to Lexi Thompson, once again, the long ball hitter. And if she can keep that ball straight, she is going to be a factor in this tournament. And you're mentioning the greats. You know, Nancy Lopez won this in 1981. But, you know, we also had, like I said, Amy Alcott won in 83, 88, 91, and Aa Consortium won it three times, 2001, 02, and 05, and Betsy King, 87, 90, 97. And if you remember that one thing is in common with all these players, they hit it straight. So I think it's, you know, it's going to be one of those situations. Like you said, Lydia Ko, Stacey Lewis, of course, is going to be up at the top. But there could be some sleepers that if they can control their ball flight, they are going to be a factor out here this week.
There was a little clip on Golf Channel this afternoon showing Ledbetter working with Lydia Ko a little bit. Looked like she was kind of on a downhill lie, and he was trying to work to get her right hand under the ball a little bit quicker to kind of get the ball lofted in the air. Did you see any of that?
Yeah, in fact, they were right next to me, and that's when actually when I had a chance to talk to him after he got done working with him. But, yeah, she can hit. She has a ability to hit a long ball, but her flight is not as high, and she seems to work her ball a little right to left. And from Work Blackwater and some of the caddies that I know of out here for years have said that it's really going to favor the person that can hit straight or slight left to right. The ones that have that medium height to a right to left are really going to have struggle with holding these greens. They may be slow, but they're going to be hardening up. And, you know, the pro here says he's disappointed that they may not get him to 12.5, but he said, you never know. It might bring a new champion that we never had out here before.
Hmm. Carlos, let me check. Carlos, can you come in? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, fantastic. We got Carlos. Okay.
Hello, Jeff.
Hi, how are you today?
Oh, great. Having problems here. With
doing live radio every Saturday morning in Toledo, hey, you have no problems concerning what we have to go through every week. There's always a problem. Live radio.
I will finally
Carlos,
we're back.
Any questions for Jeff?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment and see what you think, Jeff. You know, this course is best known for that 18th final hole, which is an island green, and definitely it's a risk-reward hole, as players can either go for the green in two shots to try and obtain that eagle, but they also risk making a bogey or worse if they find their shot finds the water or one of the bunkers. We remember 2009 when long-hitting Brittany Lindstrom decided to go for the green in two and her final round, and she did it and made an eagle to win the tournament. Do you see that hole, and with all the changes that you have been describing so far, do you see it as, like, you know, making that impact in that 72nd hole on Sunday?
Oh, absolutely. It's still going to come into play because of the fact that if you're leading and you're in the flat bottom groups, you're not going to do that, you know, a wrist shot. But if you're trailing, these girls want their name on that plaque wall of fame, or Diana Shore's name attached to it, with great legend and way to publicize women's golf. But I think that because the rough is up this year, that you might see some different bounces and some things that might happen. But I still think that it still comes down to that last hole. So I think that is the way golf should be. You should have that ability to have a chance to win for an unbelievable, amazing golf shot that you can pull off, like you said, when she made that eagle to win it. So, hey, you know, Carrie Webb's back this year. We're seeing a lot of good play out of her. So, you never know out here. I think it's a great finishing hole, and I think it makes for great excitement for the first major of the year.
that would be, we hopefully hope for another great finish like the Lexi and Michelle last year. So definitely that 18 will be in play, and hopefully everybody will be watching. So, Fred, any other things you want to add before we...
No, I just want to thank Jeff for his patience with our technical difficulties tonight, and thanks for coming on and talking to us, Jeff. And we may just do this again. I know you're going to be out at some other tournaments this year, and we may try and hook up with you and do this in the future.
Yeah, actually, I talked to a couple of people in the media tent, and they said that was a good idea. They'd like to have it more publication of what these great women do out here. I will be traveling to Kingsmill Wings, Virginia in May, then New Jersey, New York, then our great hometown of Toledo and Sylvania there, and then up the track, up the road there to Grand Rapids, Michigan. So got about 6 or 7 tournaments I got to do and a couple of Symmetra tours. And in fact, the Paul that's got the LPG tour trailer, so he's going to hit 2 here in May. And probably for those 2 along with him, because I got several players that we've got using Scratch on a Symmetra tour. And I'm also instructing several of them, so it would be a good way to get to see everything and get to everything done at one stop.
Well, Jeff Minor, professional golf instructor here in Toledo. He also owns golf simulators with Paul Pro Golf Fairways, and a lot of fun. You can go in. It's attached to Nick and Jimmy's here in town, and he's just a involved in the golf industry, going to be setting up some new Jeff Minor golf academies around the country also in the next year or so. So he's got fingers in a lot of different pies. So, Jeff, thanks again.
Yeah, and I would like to say that that is one of the cases. I've been the director of instruction at Minor Country Club, a great 1919 Donald Ross design. I'm looking forward to doing that and some work up at Walnut Hills in East Lansing. So I'm looking forward to it, Fred. I really appreciate it. The call, it's about dinner time for me here, running on 6 o'clock. So I'm going to go out. I'm lucky there's like about 20 restaurants walking distance from my hotel that I can frequently just decide what I'm in the mood for tonight.
Well, have a good one, Jeff. We'll talk later.
Thank you, Jeff. Best of success.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Carlos, I don't know where you want to go. I did my news pieces. I did
let me tell you, we have 58 more minutes so we can do anything we want to make up for whatever.
Well, we didn't
happened.
Get the canned interview. Is there any way you can pick that up about halfway through it, or what do you
definitely
think? Definitely.
At any time. What would you want to do? Would you want to play that now, or should we
cover
my news, or what should we do?
What do you want to do? You tell me. I'll leave it up to you. Why don't you run your news items in quick, and then we'll go. You can do a quick e-draft commercial, and then we'll run the last half of the Craig Kann interview, and we'll just call it a night with that. How about that?
Let's do this. I'm going to say my first 2 news, which was, I'm going to go over them and let's try to see how I can go. Then we go to the Craig Kann. I had, first of all, the Tom Watson, he's out as the Pro Emeritus at the Greenbrier Resort. When he was making his incredible 2009 U.S. Open run, nearly winning a major at 59 years of age, he did so with the Greenbrier logo on his polo shirt. 10 years after now, he was named Golfer Emeritus, succeeding Sam Snead, who was the only other Pro Emeritus there. He's out. Resort owner Jim Justice told the Charleston Daily Mail that Watson's agreement with the Greenbrier has expired and wasn't renewed. And basically, he's saying this because the time that Watson has to dedicate to White Sulphur Springs Resort is limited and expensive, and he says he prefers to have someone in place who can offer golf lessons and remain on site much of the season. He did went on to say that Tom is a great man and all that, but he just doesn't have the time. It's too expensive for that. In the interim, the Greenbrier has several big-name golfers spreading the message. Bubba Watson, when he goes to the Masters in 2 weeks, he'll do so with a Greenbrier logo on his golf bag. He also owns a recently built home at the property. So also the 6 major time championship winner Nick Faldo also owns a home there at the Greenbrier, and his academy is located there. So we'll see who's going to be succeeding Tom Watson, but definitely he's out of there. Now, there's a very important story I want to get through, and this one I'm going to say it out completely. And that's about, you know, if you want to be a golf professional, think about this. Let me tell you a story about Callum McCauley. He's a 31-year-old golfer born in Kincardine, Scotland, that studied at the University of Mississippi. And his story was published in the Scotland last week. You know, in 2007 and 2008, he was part of the national amateur selection there in Scotland. 2008, he won the 2008 Scottish Amateur Championship at Carnoustie. He was part of the team that won the Eisenhower Trophy, becoming that first Scottish team to win this tournament since it began in 1958. He also held the winning putt for Great Britain and Ireland against Europe in the St. Andrews Trophy. He received the Scottish Golfer of the Year award in that year and secured his European Tour card at the first attempt. The next year, in 2009, when he was playing in only his fifth European Tour event as a professional, the then 25-year-old birdied 8 of his last 9 holes in the final round to miss winning the Madeira Islands Open by just one shot. He was successful back again at the qualifying school in 2012, yet 2 years on, he recently put his career on hold and has been driving taxis to make ends meet after becoming a father for the first time. You know, when you start listening to the first part of this story, and you would assume that he was destined for greatness, or at least becoming a force to be reckoned with in the world of golf, and this happens more often than we realize. We imagine all these players with the private jets or first-class tickets just worldwide, but not with McCauley. A couple of weeks ago, he was part of an 18-strong group of Scottish professionals that Paul Laurie took to Portugal through funding from his foundation, where they played a practice round on Wednesday and ahead of a 54-hole event that ran from Thursday to Saturday. McCauley's word on that was, "Unfortunately, I have no status anywhere this year other than maybe 3 to 4 Euro Pro Tour events, so I appreciate this opportunity to play competitively." You know, as he tried to put his finger on why so many players with good amateur records struggle to find their feet in the professional ranks, he said, "The bottom line is pressure. It causes a lack of confidence, and that causes a lack of form. The snowball effect people talk about can work both ways in golf." You know, this took him to question himself, go through changes in his swing, even though he once got advice from Monty. He said that he asked him for the most important thing that he would tell anyone about to turn pro, as he was doing at that time when he, in 2009, was doing it. And Monty had only 3 words for him. He said, "Never change anything." But he didn't listen. You know, he says he loves to be involved in golf and can't live without it. He knows and accepts that it's all mental with him and that there will come a time where he will hit that inevitable crossroads where he will have to make a firm decision, either to press forward or step away for good. Hopefully he can find himself and straighten it up. But somehow, Fred, not to this magnitude. I keep thinking about Tiger Woods. You know, is he headed in that same direction? That's what many people say. Maybe, you know, I don't want to make fun of it. It's tough for him to my colleague see him doing driving taxis for a living. But in Tiger Woods' case, you know, he would be going down from his own plane to maybe, who knows, maybe being commercial flights and coach. You know, that would be the equivalent to him. So I don't know. But and lastly, you know, I have a news about Greg Norman. Fred, I'm sure you're familiar with the TV show Shark Tank. You know, where the sharks, tough, self-made, multimillionaire and billionaire tycoons as they invest in America's best business products. Well, there's the original shark in the golf world, and that's Greg Norman. He's the former number one in the world and Hall of Famer that won some part of the investing business waters. You know, the success of his ventures has enabled him to venture out and invest in other smaller businesses. His fund that after vetting a small business proposal and deciding to make an investment, some of his returns were in the 20% range up on top of the return of his investment capital. Wow! What a shark, definitely. This prompted him to establish the Great White Shark Opportunity Fund. This fund is designed as an asset source fund which provides alternative and flexible capital lending to small and medium cap businesses and companies. So if anybody wants to check it out, first of all, he's going to be leading this investment fund with just three employees of his company, David Chesler, Jack Schneider, and President Bart Collins, who is his longtime business partner, manager, and agent. So if anybody wants to check it out, it's in http://gwsof. That's the initials for Great White Shark Opportunity Fund.com. And they are going to be investing between $1 million to $10 million, according to that website, to those businesses. So he's getting into the investment the banking. So we'll see how it goes. So far, if it goes with the other investments that is in the 20% range, I might subscribe to his show. So we'll see what happens. So, Fred, any comments on those news that I had before we go to the Greg Kahn interview?
No, only that, Tom Watson was really revered down there at the Greenbrier. He had a very close relationship to Jim Justice's father. That's how he got invited to be the professional emeritus there in the first place. And Tom spent some time there throughout the year. He took every year he took his staff and his good buddies would go in there for a week, play golf, and they would hold some meetings and have some dinners and stuff. So he had spent a lot of time there. He loved the place and I can see why. It's a beautiful place. But you're right, Bubba's there, Nick Faldo's there. I see Nick Faldo probably, I don't know, if I'm Jim Justice, I don't want either one of those guys, but I don't know. Maybe they'll go without. I mean, that's pretty expensive to have somebody like that, so I don't know if you really need it.
He said he didn't want a touring pro. He wants somebody from there, so definitely I don't see either one of them becoming.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick is not playing, but anyway, he's got a lot of things doing with TV and all that, so maybe he's not going to be.
If you remember, we had the director of golf from there on one evening, and mm-hmm. talked to us. And he's a really cool guy. He had dinner with us one evening when we were there, and he has a lot of knowledge, a lot of history, and very personable guy. So. He doesn't have the big name that a Tom Watson would have, of course, but I don't know that you need that, really. That's a lot of expense.
Yep. Well, that wraps up the news from my part. So let's go right away to our VIG, a very important guest of the week, very good friend of the show, Craig Kahn, the LPGA's Chief Communications Officer. So he talked to us last night. We taped that interview, and we have it for you right now. So let's play it. Hello, and we're back right now, and we're with a very important guest of the week. And once again, one of our favorite guests is Craig Kahn from the LPGA. Craig, welcome once again to the show. How are you today? How is it
California? I'm doing fine, thank you. Thanks for having me. California, actually quite hot this week. We're upper 90s, so
a little bit
different than San Diego.
don't say that temperature to Fred. He's temperature sensitive right now.
Friday night it was 8 degrees in Michigan, Craig. Eight degrees.
I've lived Michigan. I was in Kalamazoo, Grand Rapids for 4 years, many years ago before I went to the Golf Channel. So I've seen snow where lake effect turns into great monstrosities of snow. It's crazy up there.
Hey, Craig, let's go right away with the questions. I have the first one for you. You know, in your top 10 list email last week, you mentioned another under 20 LPGA Tour winner. That's Yu Kim, won her second win before the age of 20. And you also mentioned the LPGA USGA girls program started in 2010 and will be reaching over 50,000 girls this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that? You know, how the girls get involved, where do they sign up, and more about this?
Well, clearly they can sign up at the LPGA's website, and the girls' golf program is becoming bigger and bigger, and you can follow it on Twitter. And I mentioned, and thanks for following the Craigslist that you guys get, so that's actually a good thing. I'm pretty proud of it. I think we all are at the LPGA because There's so much talk about trying to grow the game and get more youngsters involved, be it boys or girls. But on the girls' side, we feel like the LPGA is at a really good place right now with some of the superstars in the game and the role models that we have. So it's a great opportunity to tap into the youngsters and try to get more young girls involved. So it was 2010 that we were not even at 10,000 per year being introduced to the game through the LPGA USGA Girls Golf Program. Well, we've skyrocketed, and it was about a year and a half ago that we hit 30,000, and we're hopeful by the end of 2015, that we'll have 50,000 girls annually introduced to the game through this program. So, you know, I think with the Olympics coming in 2016 and the opportunities for women and girls in sports, this is a perfect time to ramp up this program. So we're pretty excited about it, and we want the young girls dreaming big.
Hey, Craig. You're coming off a week or so ago the JTBC Founders Cup, and you recognized Sandra Palmer, Judy Rankin, and Donna Capone as pioneers of the LPGA Tour. It just seems like a great honor for them, and the tour players seem to be genuinely appreciate the opportunity to remember the founders and pioneers of the LPGA Tour.
They absolutely do. I don't think for a second that our players don't realize that the trail was blazed by others and that they have the opportunities that they have out there today because of those women, because of the 13 founders in the 1950s that started the LPGA, and because of every other player that's been to the Hall of Fame and made a big impact on this tour. They give back. They never stop caring. They're very involved, and I think our players realize that this is something that they need to do. They need to pay respect to those players. And, you know, it's a real special time right now. I mean, if you were at the Founders Cup, you saw the likes of Marilyn Smith or Shirley Spork out there, and the players certainly notice and go up there and give them a hug after their round. That's special stuff, you know. And, you know, it's not to say that it doesn't happen in the NBA or the NFL or anything like that. I mean, everybody knows that they have an opportunity to play their given sport because of those who played before them. But, you know, in women's golf, it's a real special thing. And, you know, this week we celebrate the past champions of the A&A Inspiration, which has been the Dinah Shore, which has been the Kraft Nabisco. You know, and that's another one of those evenings where all the greats from the game that have won this championship come out and all the champions get together. So there's a lot of special opportunities, and the one you're talking about is certainly one of them.
Next week, a tour member, Morgan Pressel, will receive the Charlie Bartlett Award from the Golf Writers Association just prior to the start of the Masters at their annual dinner. It's a huge recognition for Morgan, her charity, her dedication to supporting treatment and elimination of breast cancer through her foundation.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I was texting with Morgan about some of her ideas that she's got for our tour. She's got a lot of opinion, a lot of energy, a lot of involvement. In many ways, just, you know, with the tour, she played great at the Kia Classic. You know, had an opportunity to win that tournament going into the weekend, and certainly in a Solheim Cup year, everybody wants to see Morgan playing well if you're a fan of the red, white, and blue. So that's all a positive. I'll be there at that Golf Writers Association dinner next week at Augusta, supporting Morgan and also Stacey Lewis, who won the Female Player of the Year and is going to be honored at that dinner as well. But, you know, Morgan has done so many great things for charity. She won the Kia Performance Award last year and won a car for her charitable efforts and, you know, cancer and everything that she's done. I think those are the things that people don't know enough about. I mean, they see scores and they see money earned and they see Solheim Cup appearances and all that stuff. But if you talk to Morgan and you just mention charity, she'll almost get a tear in her eyes. And she knows she gets emotional about that. But that's a positive. And the LPGA is blessed for her, for her involvement on the tour, for her to be a part of the tour, and for everything she gives back.
The tour, you guys are on such a hot streak. You had such a great year last year, and the LPGA Tour is selected among the five finalists for Sports Business Journal Sports League of the Year, along with some other heavyweights. You're in there with NASCAR, the NBA, Major League Soccer, and the Big East Conference. That's pretty good notice for you guys.
You know what? I was I'm not going to lie. I felt like we had a great year last year. We've talked about that. But you don't expect honors to just fall in your lap. I think for us to be given this opportunity to be amongst those five or the five and the other four is wonderful recognition for the LPGA. It speaks volumes about kind of where we're going in the direction. It doesn't suggest we've reached anything. There's no guarantees of winning this. The final tabulations are in the first week of May, and then the dinner is May 20th in New York City, and I'll be there for that with the commissioner and our board chair, Mike Traeger, and you know, Kathy Millthorpe and some others from our organization. You know, we're real flattered. We really are. I mean, this is a positive for us, and to be there with the likes of Major League Soccer and the NBA and NASCAR, that's big stuff. It really is, and we're proud. You know, what can I say? It's not a guarantee of anything that we've won yet, but I do feel really good about the fact that we're being recognized and being considered. And I think that says a lot for momentum. And we've talked a lot about this on this program and some other ones that I feel like we're going in the right direction. You know, we go nowhere without the players. We go nowhere without the media who tells our story and shares the stories of the players. So when Sports Business Journal and the Sports Business Awards give you that honor, that's pretty good stuff. And when the letter came across my desk, to make it official, that was a neat day for me.
I could tell from your post on Facebook that you're a little psyched up about that one. Hey, you're also, the LPGA Tour is back at some new ground this year with two African American women on tour, Sabina Parks and Cheyenne Woods, both getting their card this year. That's got to be pretty gratifying for you, also.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, diversity is a big thing, and you know, even more so than that. I mean, you're talking, again, we talk about girls golf and the program and growing the game, and it's about opportunity. I mean, there's a lot of talent. You know, Ginger Howard's another great young player, and I'll tell you this right now, Sabina's a real talent and a lot of fun to be around. If you see some pictures that she had in her Getty photo shoot that kind of we use for publicity, she rolled up the shirt sleeves to show her guns, you know, and she's pretty proud of that. She's a real athlete. Cheyenne was given a great opportunity about 2 weeks ago to go to New York City on a media tour that we went on with her, and there's a lot of attention. She's been playing some really good golf as well. So I think this is great for the LPGA. I think it's great for women's sport. Again, opportunity is everything. We've got a really, really good rookie class this year with some excellent players. You guys already mentioned Hyoju Kim and Se-young Kim as well with a win this year. Arya Jatanyagarn's playing really good golf. I played with her sister, Moria Jatanyagarn, the other day in the Kia Classic Pro-Am. And we just have a lot of young talent. I mean, and players who get it. You know, they're excited about being on the tour. They're excited about giving back. They want to do more than just go post numbers. They want to take pictures, sign autographs, shake hands, and make connections. And that's a really big thing.
Yeah, I was impressed with Sabina Parks on the big break. And I pretty much couldn't understand. I just assumed that she was just young enough. She just hadn't had her chance yet to get to the LPGA Tour. And this seems like a natural progression for her. Because I could see her talent on the big break. She looked really good on that.
No question. You know, she's a real, real talent. You know, and it's a process for players. It takes them some time to get it done. It takes them, you know, time to figure out, A, how to make cuts. That's the first step. Then you got to figure out how to have a good Saturday so you can put yourself into contention. Then you got to figure out what contention is like. Then you got to figure out what contention means. And then you got to figure out how do I capitalize on contention, because you don't know how many opportunities you're going to get. Stacey Lewis gets opportunities all the time. Indy Park's always in the mix, but not everybody has that. So I think patience is a really big thing for young players, and they're all learning that. You know, Cheyenne Woods, to go back to her for a second, had that win on the LET. That was big for her. It gives her the opportunity to know she can get it done. And now they're out here, you know, in some tall cotton. You know, they've got a lot of really good players on this tour. And you look up at the leaderboard and you see players like Indy Park and Stacey Lewis and Lydia Ko, who's absolutely been playing like she could be one of the best ever to play the game. You know, if we can get a little ahead of ourselves and toss patience aside for a second, I mean, that's big stuff. And then you got players like Christy Kerr, who fired that 65 on Sunday at the Kia Classic to get it done and get her 17th victory. So there's so much talent out here, and we've got a lot of young players that are coming up and a lot of players who've been around and good mentors as well.
Yeah, you just led me right into my next subject. You know, the girl, the lady that kind of blows away all of what you had just said earlier about taking time to know how to do it, Lydia Ko, oh my goodness, what, you know, since mid last year, she has been on a roll. She's number one in the Rolex ranking, number one in the race of CME Globe again, number one in the money with a win, six consecutive top tens in six starts, 24 consecutive rounds under par, you know, not finishing outside the top 10 this year. Steve Eubanks, in a great article in Global Golf Post last week, made her a member of the new Big Three along with Stacy and Indy. She just seems to be very comfortable with this number one thing and just doesn't seem to get caught up with all the hype. But is she a safe pick to win this week if they get her first major this week?
Whoa. Slow down on the safe pick to win. I mean, there's a lot of talent out here. I'd say she's a pretty good pick to contend, but, I mean, I don't roll the dice in Vegas, you know, for anything, and I'm not a gambling guy. I can't stand the pain of losing far more than I enjoy the satisfaction of winning, so I don't gamble. If I didn't even do a bracket this year in the NCAA tournament because my school, Missouri, didn't make the tournament. And if I did, I would have had Iowa State going a little ways, and so I'd have been out to lunch real quick. So, anyway, you know, I mean, what are you going to say about Lydia? She could be the youngest major winner in history. I mean, that's pretty good for a start. 28 straight rounds under par, I think that's pretty serviceable. It travels pretty well. You pretty much can assume she's going to be in the mix somehow. Annika had 29 for a stretch when she was in her heyday. So is she comfortable up at the top? Yeah, she sure seems it. She came up to me a couple of weeks back and asked if there was anything I needed. And I'm thinking to myself, this is crazy here. I mean, talk about role reversal. I was blown away by it. And she just wants to make sure everything's kind of going right. I mean, she's getting a little overwhelmed at times with all the media, but that's our job, is to kind of manage that and make it a little more manageable for her. And we work with her team on that sort of stuff to make sure the obligations aren't overwhelming and we can do it in a little more manageable fashion. But I feel like she's got the smile on her face. She knows what she wants. She wants to play well. And we joked last year, I think I talked to you guys the week of the CME Tour Championship, when she won Rookie of the Year, and she went up there and accepted the Rookie of the Year honor and trophy, and then also announced she was going to retire at the age of 30. And I followed that up because I introduced her, and I said, you just became the only person that I can think of that accepts Rookie of the Year and also announces her retirement in the same speech. And you got all the media members sitting out there, and I said, you just gave them something to write. I can see the headline now. Co-accept Rookie of Year announces retirement. I mean, you know, because everybody jumps on things like that. So,
absolutely.
Roll with it. She's awesome, though.
Hey, Greg, we were just talking. It's finally time for that first major of the LPGA season. Founded in 1972, it's been a major since 1983, and since its inception has been held there annually at Mission Hills Country Club in Rancho Mirage in California. You mentioned earlier it has been known by many names, including Kraft Nabisco and Colgate Dinosaur. This year is ANA, the All Nippon Airways, first year to sponsor this event. Last year we had that thrilling finish between Lexi Thompson and Michelle Wee. Lexi got the chance to jump into Poppy's Pond by winning it. What can we expect this year? I mean, do you see a repeat? What can we expect about the long hitters? Will they have an edge this year? How do you see it coming through?
Well, you know, the golf course is a little bit different from year to year. I mean, I remember last year there wasn't as much rough. I haven't seen the golf course as yet, having just flown into the area. But at the same time, I feel like this is a golf course that suits players who are precision players. I mean, there's some tough tee shots on that golf course. The greens are very challenging. You're not going to go 22 under par out here. So you can toss that away. We're all excited about a new partner in ANA. The new name of this tournament being the ANA Inspiration, which kind of ties into what their tagline is, the inspiration of Japan, the largest airline in Japan. It speaks volumes about the globalness of the LPGA Tour. I know that they're excited about growing their brand in the United States. I was there for Media Day just a few weeks ago. So I've made a few trips to California lately. I feel like I ought to open up a West Coast bureau for myself out here. But, it's going to be special, and there's a lot of neat things for the fans. You can, quote-unquote, upgrade your ticket for better seating, kind of like if you're on an airplane. There's going to be a lot of neat branding and some really neat things going on. But I think we've got a committed partner that really wants to grow this event and take it to the next level. And that's what we're all about, is elevating our majors. I mean, we want our best players to have that big stage five times a year, and it all kicks off here. I mean, for this to be the first major in golf is a big thing. Primetime TV is a big thing. From what I remember last year, Lexi and Michelle, that was fairly decent. Not a bad weekend. So if we could get something like that again, with some of our top players. And that's what you want. We can't control who's on the leaderboard or anything like that, but if your best players are playing good golf, you're in for quite a show. And I have a feeling, it's just a hunch, but I have a feeling that that will happen this week.
It just seemed like Lexi and Michelle kind of set the tone for the whole year last year with that great duel there in Mission Hills. I don't know. The tour's off to a great start, of course, with the winners you've had. Like you mentioned, you've had veterans, you've had young ladies. I mean, you're on the right track again. So, hey, let me get your last question here, and then we'll let you get out of here. But speaking of that, you need that constant influx of new talent, and you're doing that. You've expanded the Sumatra Tour by 7 events this year. That's a pretty healthy tour to get the young ladies moving up to the LPGA Tour.
No question. The Sumatra Tour has been really big for us. We want players to be ready. You mentioned Savina Parks and you mentioned Cheyenne Woods. And you talked about a lot of players that have played out there that have come to the next level. And the whole goal with a developmental tour, the pipeline to the big stage, is to have them ready when they get there. But we're not just talking about, golf games. We're talking about everything. We spend a lot of time with those players on professional development, making sure they understand simple things like hiring and how to actually let go or fire a caddy, for gosh sakes, how to fill out paperwork, how to be ready for sponsors, how to handle pro-am dinners, how to handle pro-am events, how do you treat customers, how do you handle media opportunities and obligations. All those kinds of things are things that we work on with those players. So, yes, we've added 7 events. We're excited about that. We're getting up toward 25, which is a really healthy schedule for the players. I mean, you want to give them more and more playing opportunities. That's a big thing. You want to have a schedule where they can travel. Because they drive, for the most part, let's face it, there's not tons of money to be made out there, although the purses are growing and growing and growing each and every year. And we're excited about that, and that's a real positive for us. But, you're only as good as the players that are your next wave. You can't always live off the players that are going to kind of wind it down in the next 5 to 10 years, although Julie Engster doesn't seem to be slowing down one bit, and neither is Gary West, and neither is Christy Kerr, for that matter. So, so be it. But you want to develop the next wave, and that's what we're trying to do.
This is exactly why you guys are succeeding and getting recognized by sports, media, business people as having a strong tour, is your attention to detail. Making sure that these young ladies have everything they need, when they get out there and the bright lights get on. Commissioner Juan made a point to me last year when I talked to him at the Marathon Classic that he was so happy. He was standing by the putting green, and he didn't see one interpreter out there. Just for the sheer sake of getting the international players to learn English and be conversant with it, that's really good stuff, Craig.
Well, you got to flip it too. You've got American players that are learning other languages so that they can converse, and I think that's a positive as well. I mean, you got Beatrice Riccardi, who who is from Spain and probably knows five or six languages. She's always working on a new one. And, look, we're an international tour. We play in 14 different countries. We've got players that represent 29 to 30 different countries. If you look at the Rolex Women's World Rankings, and I didn't have a chance to look at it today. I was on the airplane. But if you look at that, you got 7, 8 different countries represented in the top 10 or 11 in the Rolex Women's World Rankings. That's a positive for us. Some people say, hey, where's the United States? But we are in the United States. We are an American-based tour with a global footprint, and we play around the world because the best players in the world want to play on the LPGA. And there are a lot of partners and sponsors that we have that are global that want a piece of this action, which is a real positive for us. And, the flip side of that is we've got a lot of American brands that would like to grow over in Asia where business is good as well. There's just a lot of neat things going on, and I really don't involve myself in getting into all the interpreter different things, but if there aren't a lot of interpreters in the press room, that's a positive for us. At the same time, I can tell you each and every one of those players, when they go in there, they're going in there with the right attitude, and we work really hard with them on that to try to help them when they ask, and then try to give them the fundamentals of understanding the importance of every media obligation to begin with.
Well, as always, Craig, you guys are doing a great job, and we really appreciate you taking time to come talk to us. Carlos, did you have anything else for Craig?
No, I believe we covered everything we wanted to talk to. So, Craig, we want to thank you once again for being with us, and we wish you, as usual, the best of success to the LPGA. And this week, we expect a very, very great tournament from the ANA Inspiration, the first major.
Thanks a lot, fellas. Appreciate the time, as always. Thanks for your support of the LPGA, and we'll talk again soon.
There you have it. Fred, I almost was going to say, no, I don't have any more comments when you asked there. I was going, no, it's okay. I really was going to jump and say no.
We are completely messed up tonight, Carlos.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
It must be a full moon or something.
Yeah, something's got to happen. I don't know. But no, another great interview with Craig and all the great things that are going on the LPGA. Great insight from him. And wow, what a setup for the ANA Inspiration this weekend. I believe there's going to be a thrilling finish this Sunday, definitely.
Absolutely. It's a good golf course for the women to play, and there's great history there, great tradition, and they get to be the first major of the year, the week ahead of the Masters. Everybody's getting excited. The weather is kind of hoping to warm up a little bit, and people are starting to think about golf in the north. So, yeah, it's going to be good.
It's going to be good. Let's take a short break. When we come back, Fred is going to do a do-over on the par 5 news. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now we're going to go with some news from the...
So, moving on, Rory McIlroy, you know him? Number one in the world, remember him? Young guy?
Isn't he done? Wasn't he done?
Curly dark hair, you remember him?
Oh, yeah, the number one,
number one. Yeah. He just ended that bitter dispute with his former management company, Horizon, a few weeks ago. And he has set about reorganizing his business operations. He has filed paperwork to create a new company known as Rory McIlroy, Inc., with the company's registration office in Dublin, Ireland. Basing his brand in Ireland will mean a significant boost to the tax collector, as the golfer will pay normal company tax at 12.5% on his royalty fees, which are expected to amount to hundreds of millions of dollars of euro over his career. The new company will manage all the royalty payments from the golf star's various endorsements, like Nike, Omega, and his computer games. Rory lives and works in many countries and could have followed the usual route of creating a complex structure that would have located his management company in the United States while protecting his wealth with tax havens such as the Virgin Islands or Bermuda. Instead, he's decided to locate everything to do with his brand and intellectual property in Ireland. Prize money and other such earnings will not be part of the Irish company's revenue because they tend to be treated as income and taxed accordingly by the country where the championship was won. McIlroy is the third highest paid golfer at present and made $49 million last year, according to Golf Digest. About $35 million of that came from earnings off the course, including the sponsorship deal with Nike. While Rory McIlroy, Inc. will pay corporate taxes in Ireland, Rory has established a residence in Dubai, which is tax-free. As most of his personal income is generated from appearance fees, winnings, and endorsements from sponsors, that no tax are going to be paid on that. Huh. So, one other little item with Rory. Of course, we got to get this in. We're nearing the one-year anniversary of the celebrated split with professional tennis player Caroline Wozniacki. Well, she conducted an interview, and she talked about the highly publicized breakup last year. Her quote, "It feels like someone close to you had died, but she has subsequently moved on in her life, and she does so without bitterness. Indeed, she believes the whole experience has made her a stronger person." And Carlos, you know what they say, that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Oh, the travails of young love. So, to round out the back nine report, the par five news, we've got a story from the Irish Golf Desk about Ryder Cup captain designate Darren Clark. The past few seasons have been a little lean for Darren, but landing the 2016 European Ryder Cup captaincy could be worth up to 2.7 million euros, or about 3 million U.S., in endorsement income over the next 18 months, possibly much more, which should ease him right into his 50th birthday when he hits the Champions Tour. He has made more than 20 million euro on the European Tour since 1990, and much more than that in off-the-course endorsement money. But, you know, Darren kind of likes his cigars and private jets and sports cars. Oh, he really likes his sports cars. When he won the Open at the age of 42 in 2011, it was a little surprising to hear Chubby Chandler, his manager, say that timing could not have been better. Darren has a big cash flow problem, Chandler was quoted as saying at the time. It seems that Clark's philosophy is to spend the money before he earns it. He buys a car, then goes out and earns the money for it. He completed on his house the week before he won the English Open. With an annual cigar bill of $25,000, I don't think you probably quite spend that much on your cigars in a year, Carlos, but, you know, he likes his expensive wine, fancy cars, and other toys. He bought a personal jet with his international sports management stablemate Lee Westwood at the top of the market in 2006, and like everyone else with investments, got hit really hard by the economic crash of 2008. Chubby Chandler again said, Darren lost an awful lot of money. Before getting rid of the cash-guzzling aircraft in 2010, it just, you know, and then he had trouble selling a house that was worth 5.4 million euro, and, oh, the problems of the rich and famous, Carlos. But winning – go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry. It's okay, go ahead.
But winning the Open immediately solved all cash flow problems, as he pocketed a million euro for winning the claret jug and a $2.2 million bonus from Mike Ashley, who owns Dunlop Slazenger, who had offered to pay the bonus to either Clark, Westwood, or David Hall if they wore the Dunlop brand for free. So he did collect that. He got a bunch of cash, and now he's going to get a bunch of cash for being a Ryder Cup captain, and life is good for Darren Clark.
You make it sound like it's all about the money.
It's not about the money.
Show me the money.
Good for him, man. He's going to have some money, finally. I mean, I would like to do that same thing, but first of all, I don't even have a cigar. But for a second, I thought you were talking about Miguel Angel Jimenez, you know, cigars, black cars.
He likes the cigars. Yeah.
So that's another guy that likes all that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. We'll see. We'll see what happens with him, and hopefully he'll spend it a lot, and we can win the Ryder Cup next time. He won't be a factor. We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a short break, and when we come back, we're gonna have our final putts before we close the show. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to the Back Nine Report presented by eDraft.com. We'll be right back. Don't forget to check out our co-hosts on Twitter by clicking their names in the episode description. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for our final putts, where Fred and I give you each some last few statements, some piece of news that we just want to fill in before we end the show. So, Fred, I believe you have a couple of issues there, and one of them with Jordan Spieth. I believe he got some new real estate or something, right?
Yeah, I'll just breeze through these real quick, Carlos. Jordan Spieth bought a small five-bedroom, $2.2 million house in Dallas. You know, it's not the Ewing South Fork Mansion, but it's pretty close. Stacey Lewis is going to host a mixed junior event later this year, so she's going to get juniors involved in a tournament. Keegan Bradley, you know, is an alum of St. John's University. He's not happy with his school. He took the logo off of his bag. He's not happy with the way they fired the coach that they had, the golf coach that they had when he was in school. And then they didn't take his recommendation on the new coach, and so he's, I'm going to take my ball and go home and take your logo off my back. Jack Nicklaus received the Congressional Gold Medal last week. We all saw that. Arnold Palmer flew up, was there for the occasion. And John Boehner, the Speaker of the House from Ohio, got in one of the best quotes that I've heard for a while. Golf is just like politics. You lose much more than you win. And, John, you should know a lot about losing lately. You've been taking some pretty good hits. The 2016 WGC match play is pushing the Valero Texas Open to a later date. This year, you know, they moved we talked about last week, moved the match play from February, and normally played in Arizona. They're moving it to the end of this, of April. Will be played at Hardy Park out in San Francisco, and then it's going to move back to Austin, Texas next year and take the Valero Texas Open spot. And so the Valero Texas Open has been having some good fields and making some good money there, so I'm not sure how that's going to help or hurt them with that. And also, to wrap up, there's a couple really good articles in Global Golf Post. One is by Robert Thompson about Sean Foley, Tiger's ex-coach. Really, really good insight in that. And also an article by LaJuan Mayer about Charlie Hall. And, you know, Carlos, we follow Charlie Hall very closely. She's had great success in the Ladies European Tour and is playing in her rookie season, her first year on the LPGA Tour this year, and we're looking for big things from her.
And she's going to be this weekend on the ANA Inspirations, so she's having a great, great year there at the Ladies European Tour. Well, first of all, we apologize for all the technology problems. We hope we fixed them. We finally finished our show. We got in everything that we wanted for you. So we thank you for your patience. And that wraps up another week of the Back Nine Report presented by eDraft.com. Remember, it's always our pleasure to bring you the latest on the world of golf. Thank you for listening to us for the past almost 2 hours. Special thanks to our VIG, very important guest of the week, the very good friend of the show, Craig Kahn, the LPGA's Chief Communications Officer, for his insight. We wish him and the LPGA the best of success
this week and moving forward. Don't forget to join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Blog Talk Radio, and also through TuneIn or download our show on iTunes. Remember that in 2 weeks, it's going to be our 100th show. We have a great giveaway, so make sure that you follow us on Twitter. If you haven't done so, our ID is at Back9Report. We have all the information. Every day we're posting tweets about how to get registered there. 2 weeks, we're going to have our 100th show with a big giveaway. My name is Carlos Torres. Along with Fred Alvader, we wish you to be happy, be blessed, and enjoy the great game of golf. Happy golfing, everybody.
Good night, everybody.